This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. One of the things that drew us to the Lincoln Museum, aside from the chance to talk with the new director and the Lincoln historian, was a new temporary exhibit. It's called State of Sound, and it looks at the history of popular music in Illinois through a series of artifacts, images, sounds, and videos. Earlier this week, I was introduced to the museum's director of exhibits and shows, Lance Tauser. It was my first handshake since the pandemic started.
Hey, how are you?
Lance Tauser.
Nice to meet you.
Brian Mackey.
Are we shaking?
Okay.
Well,
okay,
sure.
I think I heard you on the radio today, actually.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Today,
absolutely.
All right.
Do we want to step in here?
Not only was it my first handshake, but as you can hear, if I sound a little muffled, I was wearing a mask for the duration of our conversation. I am fully vaccinated, but in a crowded museum exhibit space, I'm playing it extra safe. All right, with that out of the way, the exhibit space was transformed to look like the backstage of a theater with brick walls, loading docks, and an industrial soundscape you'll hear in the background throughout our conversation. The room is packed with display cases featuring guitars and trumpets and leather jackets and even more interesting stage costumes. There are also video kiosks. When you enter the exhibit, you get a set of headphones you can plug into the kiosks as you walk through. I began the tour by asking Lance how the State of Sound exhibit came to be.
We were looking for stories about Illinois that haven't been told yet and something that would sort of galvanize our patrons, something to celebrate, really. And literally in one of our brainstorming sessions, somebody just dropped the idea of music from Illinois on a table that we were brainstorming. And I don't think they quite realized the scope of the idea, because as soon as we started banding it around, we went, well, if we did that, we'd have to tell this story and this story and this story. And we realized, well, we only have 3,000 square feet. How are we going to go about telling all that story? So we really kind of massaged it to a point where if we could figure out a way to sort of group them by genres so that we could create stations, if we could figure out ways to really focus on the artists and the music genres that are important to Illinois in the Midwest, we could kind of, we felt we had a story to tell. We felt that Illinois had sort of a claim to stake, you know, that music that has come from this state has offered the world some amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting because you think of music, you think Detroit, Motown, New York City, hip-hop, obviously L.A., Atlanta, but Chicago is not necessarily one of the first, and Illinois, not one of the first places that comes to a lot of people's minds.
Well, I'd like to differ to say that one might propose that these artists that came from the South with music, whether they be jazz or blues or even folk for that matter, they came to Chicago in many cases. And from that electrified sound that took over the world, one might say that Illinois was sort of ground zero of that sort of music. We sort of feel as though that whether we're talking about gospel or whether we're talking about blues or jazz or anything, there is, you know, a message that we can convey that we have added to the cultural, the social soundtrack. And I think Illinois has got a good stake to claim there.
All right, well, let's pick an artifact here. Maybe we can talk about.
Yeah, let's go over to the blues. The other thing that we efforted to do was make sure that we contacted either the families of the artist or the artist themselves. In the case of Howlin' Wolf, he's been long gone, but his daughter is a great purveyor of his legacy. And we reached out to her and we said, we're telling the story of music from Illinois. We'd love to be able to include some materials from your dad. And she said, well, I don't have a lot, but what I do have, you'd be willing to loan. And what she actually offered are some very personal items here. You've got his gun license from 1966. You've got a harmonica in the key of A, which is a big blues key. You've got a shaving brush that really sort of puts him in that sort of turn of the century. He's born around the turn of the century, and men that were born around the turn of the century, they used a shaving brush. These are all things that he touched. I think that's really important. Now, she also included his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame plaque induction and when the Postal Service created a stamp for him. Now, these are all happened after he passed away, but still important to sort of tell his stories. And so each of the people that we reached out to, we asked them to sort of think about what they might want to loan us that kind of helps tell a story, that sort of marks their importance. And a lot of people loaned us our instruments, but some people loaned us some really lovely personal stuff like this. One of the things I definitely want to mention is John Prine, who we lost during COVID. We reached out to his family And we said, you know, we're looking to talk about John Prine. He's a treasure. He influenced so many people. And so they thought very hard about what they wanted to loan us. And in the end, they talked about the story when he got sober and he started to develop stage fright once again. He would put a little table out on stage that were populated with small knickknacks and tchotchkes and little personal items and photos that don't seemingly don't make a lot of sense necessarily, but it sort of recentered himself and allowed him to sort of relax in some of those situations. And it was a tradition that he carried on right till his death. And so they sort of assembled these materials and took a couple photographs as how they would have been laid out on the table, very haphazardly, very casually, if you will. And we tried our best to recreate that. And so I think that's one of those things where, again, we're very privileged that people took the time to really think about what they wanted to loan us. Yeah, it was always a quarter, dime, nickel, and penny. It was,
yeah, there's guitar picks, a yeah. pocket knife, toothpicks, the World of Jughead comic book from Archie Comics.
Yeah, and a set list, and little figurines, a little motorcycle figurines, family photos.
I've been down this road before. I remember every tree, every single blade of grass holds a special place for me. And I remember every town, every hotel room, every song I ever sang on a guitar out of tin.
As you walk around, there are a lot of guitars. Do you have a favorite or a most interesting piece?
There's so many. I would say most interesting would probably be Carl Sandburg's guitar, that bell-shaped acoustic over there in the folk section.
Let's walk over there and take a look.
Carl Sandburg's known more as a poet, but he was definitely a musician. He put together the Great American Songbag. He was sort of an Alan Lomax before there was an Alan Lomax. He really compiled what we now know as traditional American folk music. And as part of most of his public appearances, he would throw a guitar up like this and start playing. And this is a beautiful Washburn guitar made in Chicago, by the way, that we loaned from his estate in North Carolina.
Can you describe the shape of it? It's so unusual.
It is actually called a bell-shaped guitar. So the body of it is shaped like a bell with the flares at the bottom. And it has inlays on it. It is a beautiful, and it's relatively small. This is something that he would have carried with him on the road.
I'm going away for to stay a little while, but I'm coming back if I go 10,000 miles. Oh, who will tie your shoes? And who will glove your hands? And who will kiss your ruby lips when I am gone?
The jazz section, I think, is actually phenomenal. Some of the greatest jazz musicians of all time came from Illinois and came from all over Illinois. So you got Miles Davis. His estate loaned us this really amazing trumpet that was one of the last ones he ever had made for himself. It's from the 80s, and he passed away, I believe, in 1990.
Miles Davis from the East St. Louis area.
Exactly, yeah, from Southern Illinois. Not everything happens in Chicago. We've got a lot of great stories from all over the state in this exhibit.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've been broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. Now we're listening to an interview I recorded here earlier this week with Director of Exhibits and Shows Lance Tauzer. He's showing us around the new State of Sound exhibit, which will be here through January.
Well, how did you decide who to leave in, who to leave out?
That's a really good question, Brian. So we had a lot of tough decisions. We couldn't be so comprehensive as to include everybody, of course. What we put on display, what were the artifacts that we could, were the ones that we felt really strongly about that needed to be represented. But we have these really interesting sort of 5-minute documentary videos on each music genre, and there's 13 of them. And so in those little documentaries, it allowed us to mention a lot more artists that we couldn't physically fit in artifact cases. But when it came down to what artists we should give sort of real estate, we had to go for who we felt was the ones that were the the most important. And when we say that, we talk about artists like John Prine. It isn't just that they sold a lot of records or whatever. It was their prominence and their stature and why they're important.
We're coming towards the end of the exhibit space here. Rap and hip hop. I think I see a Chance the Rapper hat over here.
So these materials are props. Chance the Rapper, we did reach out to him and we wanted to make sure he was represented in the exhibit. So that's just a prop and it's labeled as such.
It's not one that he wore. A concert worn hat.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. No, and it says very clearly there. One of the artists that did get back to us was Common.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us.
He is someone who thought very much about what he wanted to loan us, and one of the big milestones of his career was the song that he co-wrote with John Legend from the movie Selma, which he starred in, and he loaned us the custom-made Prada suit that he wore at the 2015 Oscars.
First, I would like to thank God that lives in us all. Recently, John and I got to go to Selma and perform Glory on the same bridge that Dr. King and the people of the Civil Rights Movement marched on 50 years ago. This bridge was once a landmark of a divided nation, but now is a symbol for change. The spirit of this bridge transcends race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, and social status. The spirit of this bridge connects the kid from the south side of Chicago, dreaming of a better life, to those in France standing up for their freedom of expression, to the people in Hong Kong protesting for democracy. This bridge was built on hope, welded with compassion, and elevated by love for all human beings. Thank you.
He included some other materials in this case we're looking at, including a romantic comedy that he was in with Queen Latifah that has absolutely nothing to do with music. But anytime Common sends you something, you're going to include it. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame loaned us an amazing costume from Earth, Wind, and Fire, from sort of their disco era, because they really were both R&B and disco. And we made sure that we had like an 8-track cassette in there, or 8-track tape in there, because we wanted to make sure that people that are unfamiliar with the different mediums of music, we have a lot of records, we have some cassettes, we have some CDs, and that's the one and only 8-track on display. But out of the ashes of disco dying, up came house music, predominantly out of the clubs in Chicago. And there are three amazing pioneers of that music featured here, including Frankie Knuckles, who's unfortunately no longer with us, but his foundation loaned us a reel-to-reel and his turntable. We have Derek Carter, who's an international, huge superstar, who loaned us one of his digital turntables and one of his mixers from early on. And then Steve Silk Hurley, who's more of a remixer, again, pioneering, and these instruments are so much different than the guitars we've been looking at. And so between Frankie Knuckles, Derek Carter, and Steve Silk Hurley, we have three examples of music-making equipment that is so much different than what we traditionally understood. I mean, these guys are sort of living at that pioneering digital age, and these were the tools of the trade.
So I came in, and when we started talking, I said, you know, Illinois is not on the lips of people when they're thinking of we're the center of musical gravity in America. What do you hope people take away from walking through this exhibit, looking at these artifacts?
Right. Well, the people that live in Illinois, what I hope is that the people that are from Illinois will garner some appreciation and some pride about where they come from, that we do have this sort of ownership of some of these cultural things. So I'd love to think that people will be touched by the stories, you know, impacted by the artifacts, and sort of maybe at least, you know, inspired by the music. And that's all you can really ask for.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to show us around.
Oh, thanks for coming, Brian.
Shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Lance Tauser is director of exhibits at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. We spoke earlier this week in The State of Sound, which you can check out yourself through January. That's it for today's show. We leave you with Illinois native Allison Krauss. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield for hosting us today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Happy Independence Day. We'll talk with you again next week.